Please request record permission from the meeting host. Do I have your permission to host?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Hold on.
It just says please request. Like, how do I request that?
Yeah. Maybe, I didn't like get anything.
No, it just says okay, and then I'm very confused. Maybe you need to do it because you're the host.
Ooh, there it is. I found it. It says allow record. There we go.
Oh, okay, cool. Host allows you to record the meeting.
And I think there's like... Oh, cool. So now I can see that it's recording. And like,
I can't see that it's recording, so I'm just going off you. Oh, no, I see it.
Yeah, there's a little thing up in the upper... Up in the...
Okay, all right.
Boop, boops.
Testing.
Oh, yeah, we're testing. We're testing boundaries. But respecting them.
Respecting them. Always having that open dialogue.
Yeah. There's like... Oh, cool. So now I can see that it's recording. And like,
oh,
I...
Sweet.
I can't see that it's recording, so I'm just going off you. Oh, no, I see it now.
Yeah, there's a little thing in my upper...
Okay, all right.
Beep, beeps.
Testing.
Oh, yeah, we're testing. We're testing boundaries. But respecting them.
Always having that open dialogue.
Yeah. There's also... I was thinking we got to come up with, like, a good... intro jam riff, you know?
Right.
The Dungeon Masters.
Dungeon Masters. And what was our... Hold on. I was going to say, what's our little, like, phrase? A conversation, a revolution. I am Sebastian Keys. This is my buddy Pirate.
Welcome to the Dungeon Masters.
Let's get kinky, you fucking nerds.
I like that mic, dude. It's good.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And it's got this, like, nice, very...
The fact that it has an adjustable arm is pretty clutch.
And it's pretty good. It's got, like, a good range, so you can, like, sit back and kind of relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just loud.
Get up close and personal whenever you're really intense and on your soapbox. That's nice.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sure there's like, zero soapboxing happening.
Oh, you mean this one that I carry around with me all the time?
Yeah. Like, hold on, let me just...
Pretty much.
Yep. Today, on the first episode ever of the Dungeon Masters... We are testing all of our technicals, and we will be exploring what in the tabletop RPG community is known as Session Zero. And the bondage and kink community, well, we like to use checklists.
Exactly. It just really opens up and has everything laid out, literally, in front of you to work within the parameters for everyone to have a good, safe, respectful time. Because once you have that conversation, you what?
You're getting everything laid out, spread eagle, right from the beginning.
Exactly. Well, then, because once you do that, then you could really get weird, and
yep.
that's where all the fun starts. You don't want to have that disrupted with people being assholes and not respecting limits or not asking first.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's okay if you want somebody to play with your asshole, but it helps to have that known.
Exactly.
Remember, don't just go for the wrong hole.
Ask first.
So at the beginning here, we have a couple of helpful resource links. You want to talk about yours first?
Yeah, so this is a... basic checklist that I feel covers a pretty good parameters when it comes to BDSM play between partners. And I do incorporate this with my shoots when I'm on production, this is the same protocol that I would use at work or in the bedroom. And some of these are normal terms, since I'm like in the BDSM community, Empire, you know these as well, but there are some for people who are listening that might not be accustomed to. So it's good to, like, I have one for DOMS or dominance, and there's also one for a submissive checklist. The domination one, that is kind of gives me more of an idea of someone's skill set and experience going into being in that top position, being in control of somebody. So if you are kind of in a personal relationship, you might not need that one. I think more importantly is going to be the submissive checklist, which goes over all sorts of sex acts when it comes to receiving or giving them as well. And that goes into all sorts of sex acts like anal penetration, fisting or spitting, like if you like receiving all of those or if you would prefer to give those. Then we kind of go into where the BDSM kind of comes into play, where we start asking about different toys and implements that people are comfortable with. And there's like a section of no's and yeses and areas for you to kind of lay out any notes. If, say, for example, there's a clamps section. So you may be okay with clamps on certain areas of the body, and it's good to discuss where those aren't okay. Mm-hmm. And that may differ for everybody. So you don't want to just go clamp somebody's nipples if they're hypersensitive. But maybe they prefer it somewhere else, and have that discussion and test it out if you're unfamiliar as well. That's something you're interested in. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons. Speaking of toys, I just got a new dragon tongue, and it's so fun. Yeah.
Very fun.
It's really soft. And look forward to having that on the visual experience of this podcast at some point when we get to the corporal punishment planning phase. But one thing you were just talking about is one of the reasons I like I use the Bad Girls Bible BDSM checklist for everything, because it natively has in it a scale of 0 to 5 for pretty much everything. You know, 0 being hard limit or no experience, 5 being I fucking love it, and then pretty much 0 and 1 are not really interested.
Yeah.
2 and 3 are maybe on the low end. 4 is I like it. 5 is I love it. And so you can really get into, we'll have both of these links available probably on Patreon as special awards for subscribers. And then also we have some that we're working on for the Dungeon Masters podcast, to cover a little bit more in depth the things that we find extra important.
Right. So yeah, and my checklist kind of uses a similar, we do like 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 1 being dislike, least enjoyed, or a flat out 0 will be a no. 2 putting a 10 as you fucking love it. Most enjoyed, gotta have it, mm-hmm. give it to me. Keep it coming. Sometimes, literally. Because there are some things that you just go to town. Some things you really, really enjoy. So I think that's just as important as what the no's are and what the limits are.
Absolutely. Yeah, having that solid understanding of both what people are really not down with and what they really, really want is critical in building healthy and fun play. You know?
Yeah.
If you only know what people don't like and stuck with this constant questioning of what they want, that's not really helping the party, you know?
Right.
You're starting from a place of, okay, well, we don't want to do this. Now what? Now what do we do?
So, right.
That's why I think these are probably some of the most essential skills, especially baby doms, just starting out.
Yeah.
Like, just read over these checklists and honestly fill them out for yourself before you even send them to anybody else. Have an idea in your head of knowing what your own personal limits are before you try to engage in, you know, voyeuristic sex parties at the fucking underground nightclub whenever we can go back to doing that.
No. Wait for the day.
Stay home, wear a mask. Don't want to be able to go back to doing that.
Exactly. The sooner we do that, the sooner we can all play again.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I don't understand why it's this hard, but for some reason it is.
It's like America. People are just going absolutely fucking bonkers about their restrictions and their freedoms. And it's like, come the fuck on, guys. Some of us have other things we want to be doing, and we can't do them until we get this under control. And as long as we flatten the curve vertically, none of us can go back to having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'll wear a seatbelt and they'll wear a condom, hopefully. Because Max isn't not even sure about that one. You won't wear a mask. I'm pretty sure you're not wearing a cover. And if that's
the case, you probably should be.
You really should be.
Because we do not need that.
Don't need any more.
We don't need that mentality in the world that is slowing us down.
Yeah. I will say, though, it's just, without getting too far down that particular rabbit hole, I am so disappointed.
Yeah.
So disappointed. You know, I've got friends overseas and they're like, yeah, we're like going to the beach and just hanging out because it's gone here.
Yeah.
Like, yep, everyone stayed home for a month and a half and we got paid out by the government to do it and our basic needs were met and we didn't have to rush back to work.
Right.
The families didn't have to put them at risk. And sure enough, virus is gone. Check it out.
It could be that easy, but America is a very different breed.
Yeah. Yes. Good old rugged individualism. Cowboy mentality.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck about anybody else? That's America.
And that's, to tie that mild digression back in, that's the attitude you can never have in play. And you gotta give a fuck about everybody else involved.
Exactly. Because people get hurt when you don't.
Yeah. Physically, emotionally, like the whole gamut. It's very easy, especially in these types of play. And one thing I don't think a lot of people understand is when you're really getting into a DS scene or relationship, there is so much essential trust that has to be built there, right?
Yeah. Paramount.
Yeah. You can't just let anybody waterboard you and think that that's going to be fine. Because it's not.
And it's not.
Yeah.
You want to have that trust. You want to know that they know what the fuck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have your safety and best interests at heart.
Exactly. That's how it's fun. Because otherwise, it is actually just torture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we are hard advocates against torture. Torment, maybe. Torture, no.
Yep. Building that type of relationship and that type of trust requires that initial communication, that initial understanding. So, as all of you, dear listeners, move into this world, make sure you're constantly checking in with yourself and with your play partners. Because
always important.
That can change in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What is okay yesterday is not okay tomorrow. What is okay tomorrow might not be okay next week. And that's okay. That has to be fine. You have to be comfortable enough with that in order for a good and healthy relationship to build. Because if you're not, guess what? You're a rapist and that's fucked.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they literally just said it was okay. As soon as if something doesn't feel right and somebody's not feeling it anymore, you have to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for any of these asshole guys saying like, oh, well, she wanted to have sex and all of a sudden she stopped. It's like, well, you have to respect that. Yep. That is her choice to make.
Yep.
I don't care if she's been flirting with you the whole night and talking about how you guys are going to do it. If she changes her mind, you have to respect that. And that goes for anybody. That's just such a, we see that often, way too often in today's society. People not respecting boundaries and using that as an excuse.
Oh my God. I saw the most fucked up meme. It was a picture of Brock Turner, that fucking rapist kid. And it said, we've been in quarantine longer than he was in jail.
Yeah. And that was maybe like within the last month too. That was not even like recently.
Yeah.
We've been in it.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it was last month. It was
that June. Yeah. Makes me sick.
Yeah.
All because of the color of his skin. The only reason. If he was any other color, he would be either in prison or dead right now.
Yeah. Let's be
honest. Yeah.
And to that end, that's what we're fighting for.
Yep.
Solidarity with Portland, solidarity with New York, solidarity with Black Lives everywhere.
Exactly.
If that's triggering you on this podcast, you should get out now.
This might not be the podcast for you. But please, tell us in the comment section because I'd love to shut you down.
Mm-hmm. Or donate money to us.
Yeah. Or donate money. If you want to keep having this debate, just keep donating to our Patreon.
Uh-huh. Keep pay us to argue with you.
Yeah.
Because really, that's the only way I'm going to engage with that anymore. I'm so sick of it. I'm so, so sick of this idea that whiteness is the end-all, be-all protection from everything. Like, there's no justification. Oh, anyway.
That's what makes me so mad every time I hear infringing on my rights. Like, how do you think having police murder you in the streets feels? Like, that's an infringement on your rights as a goddamn human being.
Mm-hmm. At a very fundamental level,
you wearing
you alive should Trump use the word we hate everything. Everything. Like, all these people are coming out of the woodwork and saying, like, well, you know, but they shouldn't be destroying property. Fuck you.
Fuck your property. When did we start putting property over people's lives?
To be fair, the answer to that is probably 1776.
It's always been that way. Yes. It's certain people's lives that they don't give a fuck about.
Yes. Because at that point, we just aren't seen as people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel like this is how our world is now. I feel like any conversation I'm in, it goes down this road to an extent.
Yeah, because it's just so prevalent, you know?
It is.
It's not like... And
you can't stop talking about it until we see some real change.
Yep. That's the essential break point for this whole thing is going to be, when can we stop talking about race and racial issues in America when there is actual change?
Yeah.
You know,
when white nationalism and white supremacy is dead, that's when we can.
Yep.
Until then, we have a lot of work to do.
Consistently and every day. I mean, I think it's actually just genuinely taking a toll on my mental health. I wake up every morning and the first like hour or 2 hours of my day is flipping through the news, donating to bail funds, donating to different change orgs, signing petitions. And it's like, okay, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Now what?
Yep.
Well, what do you do to get yourself kind of out of those ruts? Because we do have an obligation to stay informed, as heart-wrenching as it can be sometimes. We can't just like put our heads in the sand, but we can't let it destroy us to our emotional level where we feel defeated and can't do anything.
Yeah.
So,
honestly, what I've been doing is I try to take time every day to just appreciate like one thing in nature, one beautiful thing in nature around me.
Yeah. I'm
very fortunate to live here in the Bay Area. So whether it's, you know, just driving over the bridge to Oakland or going out to Ocean Beach, driving over the Golden Gate up to Marin,
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to kind of just get out and just remember what world we're fighting for. Like,
yeah,
what is it that we're actually trying to preserve from this ever-present and ever-growing threat of fascism?
Yeah.
And most recently, what was that? Today, there's that tweet from 45 saying, why don't we just postpone the election?
But, so you knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've all been waiting for that fucking day one.
Because he knows he's losing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you wouldn't want to postpone an election. You know you're winning.
Mm-hmm. No, you have that election.
This is his fascist attempt of, this is the first step. He's going to try and postpone it. And if he doesn't, his last attempt will be like a military coup.
Mm-hmm.
That's otherwise, you know, if he does end up doing that, unless he does a military coup, if he tries to like hold out, that just forces us to have President Pelosi until they forcibly remove him.
Yeah, which is
kind of, I've always been saying ever since the impeachment, I was like, I'm fine with President Pelosi. I disagree with her on some things, but
mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that versus 45 right now. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything over the GOP, let's be honest. Like, I would actually happily put one of my cats in a top hat and put them on the pedestal of national governance and trust that their random tappings on a keyboard would produce more sensible policy decisions than any we've seen so far.
The only person I give some credit to, and this says a lot from me being an ex-Mormon, you got to give it to Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people that fucking showed up, man.
Mm-hmm. Which is itself incredibly confusing.
Yeah.
And I think I think it just shows how far the lens of American politics has been shifted toward the right over the past, 20, 40 years. What used to be an actual centrist position is now super progressive liberal left.
Right.
And everything else, like even our supposedly liberal politicians are on the actual scale either center or kind of right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's nuts. The fact that we don't really have, we're a two-party system that's effectively both operating in conservative politics.
Yeah. One's just less conservative.
Yeah.
Like, our whole two-party system is not as far left as they like to assume.
Oh, God, no. And also,
Look at sex workers as a prime example.
Yeah.
The Democrats are usually the ones that actually have proposed the most damaging and destructive bills that harm sex workers and rope that into trafficking, and they are not the same.
Yep.
And one should not be penalized and discriminated against.
Yeah.
It's just making the problem worse.
You know, this idea, it's like we refer to sex work as the oldest profession.
Yeah.
Right.
And literally most of the world.
Yeah.
Has legalized it. They make it safe. They make it testing available. The women don't get harmed. STDs aren't spread. They're like, other countries understand. It's a great industry that like makes money and everybody wants it. There's a safe way to do it. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. Why before they were saying all this stuff with marijuana before it was legalized.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's so much money in it when you do it. When you actually like monetize it and set up an industry for it, and there's checks and balances, you have to display like what's in it, mm-hmm. what medical aspects are in it. Like when you do that, things are good. It's good for everybody. Like stop demonizing it.
It turns out some level of oversight is good.
Right.
Huh. Amazing.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Like freedom with some restrictions actually works out better than either completely unrestricted free market capitalism, which is just an exploitative system that only succeeds by grinding people under its cogs, and also, if you over-regulate everything, there's no money to be made. Almost like there's a middle ground here.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you're putting that on the police to take care of that. Like, that's not their job. And that's why, like, everybody's so freaked out about defund the police. We're not saying get rid of the police. We're saying literally defund it. They don't need military power. They don't need to be in charge of the homeless problem and mental health and everything else. Like, they just need to be keeping the peace. Mm-hmm. That should be their one job. It's not fair to police officers, as much as I have beef with that whole system. We don't put them in a, they're not in a position to be set up for success. It's only set up for failure. And we're seeing.
And I would say I'm actually even further over than that. I'm firmly in the abolish the police camp, which is the idea that this system,
I think it needs to be born to power and rebuilt. It needs to be
restarted over. Yeah, there's no reform. Here in the Bay Area, we have some of the worst police departments in the nation. They are historically so racist, so corrupt. Oakland PD, that poor girl who was in custody that was being sexually assaulted, trigger warning for everybody, we are going to talk about some shit on this podcast, who was being repeatedly sexually assaulted and was being passed around the department, and they were like, well, it's technically legal,
which is so fucked up that is legal.
Yeah, it's like 32 states it's legal for police officers to have sex with somebody in custody.
Yep.
Sorry, there is no situation where the power imbalance there does not equate to sexual assault and rape. Like, that's just not a thing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, this is not the freest nation in the world. It is not. We have the most people in modern day slavery and incarceration than any other country per capita. Mm-hmm. Like,
what was that statistic on? Let me see if I can pull it up right now. I think it was like we have 4% of the world's population and 22% of the world's prison population.
Something like that. It's a massive number.
Yep, that's exactly it. 4.4% of the world's population and 22% of the world's prisoners. The world. I'm sorry.
And
I think that China is, you know, the leader. You're wrong. You think that Russia's the leader. They're second. But
that's a pretty low bar to. Mm-hmm. And we're even lower than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you want to talk about the land of the free, was that Rage Against the Machine there? Whoever told you that is your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We're out here trying to survive in a nation that routinely undermines the efforts of anyone outside of the dominant power source, right?
Yeah.
I seen this news article the other day. It was like, marijuana moms, how pot is helping these new mothers cope with the challenges of new motherhood and making them better parents. And it's like, cool. I bet it would have made a whole lot of black families better too if you hadn't been arresting them.
Exactly. Constantly. Exactly.
But all of a sudden, it's white women, and so it's fine.
And how maddening is that with pot being legal in almost every state at this point in some capacity, there are still so many black people in prison for weed charges that are just still sitting in there. Like, none of those cases were forgiven or set free or anything like that. Like, that is maddening. People are walking around just smoking weed in front of cops while I feel it's thousands and thousands of people are just locked up.
That actually did go through in California. Let me double check that real quick, because I'm pretty sure I remember seeing they were going to be releasing. A bunch of nonviolent pot prisoners from California jails.
Yeah, just California.
Proposition 64, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I wish that was a federal thing.
Seriously. I mean, technically, it's still federally illegal, so.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes no sense. That's why I was, when I had to fly to Oklahoma this weekend, so surprised that there were just dispensaries everywhere. It looked like Vegas. There was one, like, on every corner.
Really?
Yeah.
In Oklahoma? I
have no idea. Yeah. In Oklahoma. And I was very surprised. It was, like, masks were mandated everywhere.
Oh, that's good.
I was very surprised.
From Texas.
Yeah, Oklahoma didn't get, they got, all. There was the Tulsa rally that 45 held there, so they got hit pretty hard before us. Now they finally are getting their act together.
Oh yeah, and just saw that today. What's his name died?
Who died?
Former GOP presidential candidate. Herman Cain. There he is. Herman Cain died of COVID-19 after very publicly announcing that that rally would not mandate masks.
What?
Because America was, quote unquote, fed up.
Oh my. I remember him saying he was very anti-mask, and that's kind of irony at its finest, isn't it?
You know, it really is. Although, actually, I don't think it's irony. Irony is when, like, the opposite happens from what you
were saying. Yeah, this was fully expected.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the last moments he thought it was ironic, but
yeah,
we all could have told you that this was coming. We all saw this a mile away.
Yeah.
That's right. Speaking of Tulsa, Oklahoma, he was the one that was, like, the big attendee there.
Yeah.
Big speaker. Wow. Yeah, he just died this morning, didn't he?
Yep. Yep. In a very satisfying turn of fate.
And with that, our lovely viewers at home, wear your goddamn masks.
Seriously. It is such it's such a no-brainer, right? You can put, like...
It is the simplest thing to put a stop to this, or at least get control of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
For those of you, yeah, for those
no of gods
joining us, no gods, no masters.
Just the dungeon masters.
I know the irony of wearing this mask while doing this podcast. I did practice.
That's great.
You know, we should just do one entirely in mask, just to prove the point. You know, like, you know, you can literally just sit and talk for an hour.
Yeah.
Without any sort of breathing issues.
I'm sorry, I had to fly with a connecting flight back from Oklahoma. I didn't take the mask off once. Had to wear it for like about 5-6 hours. It's fine. I'm a pretty constant smoker, and I can still wear a fucking mask. It's not hard. I don't see what the problem is. They look cool. You can customize them. Get like cool different ones. Like,
yeah.
You know, the ones that just go over your face like you just wore? Those ones hurt my ears, so I prefer doing the ones that are like little face wraps. And they have ones that have little pockets sewn in, and you can have a filter inserted in them.
Yep.
And it's much more comfortable. Like,
yep.
They look cool. You look like you're a ninja from Mortal Kombat.
I know. I'm all about this weird, you know, like, if we're going to live in a crazy cyberpunk dystopian future, let's have the fucking aesthetic. I'm
exactly. Yeah. Let's start adding fashion into it. Why not? Make it cool. Customize it how you want. It's fun. That can be like a whole activity while you're stuck at home dealing with COVID. Yeah. Have fun making your own masks.
I've been seeing, there are so many, have you seen like the plague doctor mask patterns?
Yes. With the big beaks and everything like that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I saw one like a patchwork quilt plague doctor mask pattern.
Oh,
it looked really cool. It was super cute.
That's cool.
People are having fun. Yeah. On the other hand, it's like you have one side, which is all the crafty folks, all of the people who are really excited to just like have a new thing to be able to do. And then the other side, you have people who are like, this infringes on my freedoms. Like, actually, if anything, it gives you more freedom, because guess what? Facial recognition technology has a harder time identifying you when you're wearing a mask.
Which is good to know when we have Gestapo running around our country right now.
Yeah, seriously. They identified that one girl who allegedly lit a cop car on fire by a t-shirt she was wearing and an Etsy review, right? But they still can't arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Still going on strong, isn't it?
Yeah. I was it, 87 people got arrested for a peaceful sit-in on, what was it, the governor's? Look at the AG of Kentucky or the governor's. It sat right out in front of his house. All of them got arrested. All of them got arrested. It's like, you know, the only reason they're there is because we can't get justice for this woman who was murdered in her bed. Which seems like kind of a no-brainer. You know, if you want to stop the tide of anger and insurrection in America, and you are in the position to do so, maybe just fucking do it.
Yeah. I don't know why it's taken them so long.
Well, yeah, we do. We both know why it's taking them so long. Because they think if they just like burn on and burn out, they don't actually have to change anything.
Right.
Go back to the status quo by allowing the anger to die down. But that's not happening. You've got millions of people, like 40-something million people in the United States are unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All of those people who are unemployed and now facing the termination of their benefits. How fucked is that?
Yeah.
Congress is holding up these relief bills that offer millions of dollars to the military. You know, it's like, yeah, we're going to
have big corporations.
Mm-hmm. Corporate bailouts. Meanwhile, the American people are getting screwed again and consistently.
And we're only, like, they were having the benefits through June, and, like, this has only been the first month of people really getting a taste of shit's going to get bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you think it's going to be in November? Like, by the time the election comes up?
Yeah.
It's going to be another. People are going to be in a dark, dark place, and shit is going to be on fire.
Yeah. I mean, it already
is. By that point, it already is, even more. It's going to be just across the entire country.
Yep.
There's going to be utter chaos.
And there has to be. You know,
exactly. It's the only reason anything's getting any notice.
Mm-hmm.
And people are actually being forced to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the only good thing you can look into this secret police being launched is they're scared. That's why they're doing all this. Because they know their comeuppance, they're coming.
Coming. And it's coming hard. Oh boy.
It'll be a reckoning.
Yeah. Because here's the thing that I'm a very firm believer in. Not only is there going to be a reckoning coming, but it's going to come from both sides.
Like, oh yeah.
You were a politician during this era and you didn't fight for the rights of the people and you didn't fight for what is right. There is no place for you at the table anymore.
Yeah.
We're burning the table. We're going to build our own damn table.
Exactly. A new table. We're going to redefine what a table is.
Mm-hmm. We're going to make
it. Because you guys had it fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Might have to eat with the bare hands for a little while, but we will get through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's better. I'd rather eat with my bare hands than eat with a fucking boot on my neck.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And if it means scraping and returning to community-led initiatives, we'll do that. You know, I think that's what people forget, is that human society began with small communities,
right?
Supporting each other. The idea that a nation this large has to be governed in this way, that's a new idea.
Right.
Everyone who thinks like, oh, America can't have a revolution. Bitch, we've had two.
We started
one and we had another one right in the middle.
Right.
You know, mind you, the Confederacy only lasted for 5 years because there were a bunch of whiny babies. And every That's time true. They went on a battlefield, they got their asses spanked.
When else have we celebrated losers?
Like I mean, in America, pretty consistently, as long as those losers were a bunch of fucking baby boomer white people.
Yep.
Ooh. No tea, no shade.
I know, where's the tea? Where's the tea?
Well, as we initially thought when we began this podcast, it's like 40 minutes into the episode, maybe we should talk about.
Yeah, what was our main topic again? Oh, yeah. Communication and checklists.
Mm-hmm. Communication, consent, and checklists.
Consent and checklists. The three C's.
Now, for those of you joining us from the tabletop community, now that you've been subjected to a long discussion of rimming, fisting, and firebombing feds, if you're still here with us,
right.
I'm coming from the lens of D&D, primarily 5th edition now. Like I started back in 3rd, 3.5, ton of video game playing, but this lends itself most adequately to the tabletop community, right? Because of the way you're sitting around with each other, actually engaging in co-creative storytelling. And being able to do that does require initial buy-in, right? We've all heard stories of like a tabletop group or a game where there's just that guy, you know, there's that one person who pisses everybody off by doing stupid stuff or by doing what their character would do. And it makes the game unfun for everybody. Having a strong session zero is honestly the best way to prevent that from happening. Or if you can identify it early, you can have the conversation with whoever that person is going to be and say, hey, here are the expectations for our table. You know, if you're a DM, you are well within your rights to set expectations. And so are your players. If you are fine with people drinking at the table, I am. I love it. It's fun. Yeah. We have a good rule, though. Every drink you take is in character. So if you get drunk and start getting saucy, guess what? Make that fucking persuasion roll with disadvantage.
Right.
I don't do cell phones at the table. Like, you know, with quarantine now, we're all primarily playing online. But like, at least pay attention. You know, making sure that people are engaged is huge, both for the tabletop scene and for the BDSM scene.
Like, exactly.
That's why this Venn diagram overlap exists. Making sure that people are having fun while they're playing is why we're trying to play.
Right.
Whether it's on the table or at it.
Right. The only thing I would say with that when it comes to like playing in the bedroom is, and this is best to have a conversation beforehand, but say, for instance, like you are kind of getting an allowance from your partner to go play with somebody, and maybe you guys have discussed that you would like to have check-ins mm-hmm. to make sure everybody is safe, they're having a good time. So, but that's something to like have a conversation saying like, okay, at this time at 2 o'clock, I just need to check in with my partner real quick. Let's everybody on the same page for that. And then we can go right back to playing as long as everything's going okay.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when especially somebody's tied up and somebody's trusting their safety in your hands and you're just checked out on your phone or preoccupied with something else, mm-hmm. that's when the trust meter starts going lower and lower. And then that scene is going to cut short right then and there. There's definitely not going to be a second one.
Yep.
So show that you care. Be attentive.
Be a second one.
Yeah, exactly. Very rightfully so, there isn't going to be one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, be attentive.
A message for all of our submissives out there. Never forget that you have agency. This is something that I've run into over the years. You're still a person.
Right.
Just because you're tied up and somebody is doming you, you're still a human being. You're still a person. You still have needs. You still have desires. You still have agency in your being. It can be fun to transfer control over to somebody else. But if you're laying there and you're thirsty or you really have to pee, or you know, something is genuinely hurting, not like, oh, this is fun hurting, but like, oh, my knee has been digging into this hard ground for an hour and it's bruised.
Right.
Always, always speak up. You know, it doesn't have to break the scene even. You can definitely find ways to playfully tie in your needs. Be like, master, my throat's so dry, I could barely please you. Can I have some water to help? Boom, look at that. It's
there
fun.
There you go.
Sexy.
Didn't even have to break care.
You have a need. And now it becomes part of the volley, right? All of this is just, it's co-creation.
Yeah.
A good dom will recognize that and volley back to you in a way that both meets your need and allows the scene to continue.
Exactly.
It works the same in storytelling. The yes and can be huge important for just keeping things rolling.
Exactly.
Making sure that everyone at the table is able to be engaged and excited. Yeah. That's why we do it.
Yeah, because you don't want the train to derail and have to like get build up the steam again. Mm-hmm. But you want everybody to be safe and comfortable, so just incorporate that. You can still keep going with the scene and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a weird hiccup or anything like that.
Yeah. And for those times when it is, sex is funny. I don't care.
Human bodies just do weird things.
Yep. Sex is funny. Sex is fucking hysterical. And if you don't think so, like, you're having some weird kind of sex that I am not into.
Or you just need to let loose a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't be so uptight when you're trying to be all loosey-goosey and spread eagle. Don't be tight. Relax.
Just relax.
I promise you're going to have way more fun and you're going to fit a lot more if you just relax. Spoken from experience.
So speaking of fisting...
You rang.
I feel like I need that as an actual doorbell holder, right? It's just the pleasure fist, but like right at the top, or like on a ring in the middle is the actual doorbell.
There you go. Oh, okay. I was even thinking it could be like one of those door knockers.
Oh, the door knockers.
Don't.
A little like brass butthole as the knocker.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so we're marketing that.
Yes. Look for our new merchandise
coming out soon. Please.
Oh, maybe we can get that thing going instead of like the ball sack, like truck nuts.
Oh yeah, those like always
those
always just disturb me. Like, man,
it's just like, it's like dick pics. Like when it's just isolated by itself, it's very jarring and weird looking. It's it's better when it's attached to something, to someone.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing kind of works together as a whole.
Yeah, when you start just piecing it apart, that's when it gets a little weird. The closer you look.
Yeah. I will say though, costumes are hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Just like dressing up your cock
or your dick.
Yes.
A little hat on it, a little mini tiny bow tie.
Like, right.
Make it a caricature. Now we're having fun.
Oh. Now I'm just getting flashbacks to when you and I went to that Puppetry of the Penis out here in Las Vegas. So for any viewers who have not been to Vegas or are unfamiliar with the Puppetry of the Penis, Google it now after this podcasts after this podcast because it's the best. If you're ever in town, it's like Cirque du Soleil is always fun. Like if you want to go see a fun magic show or anything like that, like that's always cool. But off the beaten path, hands down, one of the best shows you can possibly go see is Puppetry of the Penis.
It really was. And that's like, this is a unpaid plug for something that's just genuinely exceptional.
Yep. Just absolutely love those guys and love what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I think they're Australian. They've been doing this for like over 12 years. Mm-hmm. But what did we do, Pirate, at the end of it all?
Yep, my, actually, probably in both of our on-stage Vegas debut.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a few with like other events out here. But
yeah, I bet you have.
The one that wasn't like just based on sex shows or anything like that. That was like a proper, in a proper theater, an actual show. That was the debut for sure.
Yeah, I think our listeners are going to have to go actually see that show to find out what the grand finale is for themselves. We can't be giving
I highly recommend it. Yeah, highly recommend it.
Just trust that when you see it, you'll think of us.
Yes, exactly. It is I'll just say it's a bonding experience, that's for sure.
It was. And in many ways, everything we've been talking about here is a bonding experience or a bondage experience. But that particular, ayo. That one in particular was great. It was an excellent team building exercise.
It was. That was a good time.
Of all the things that we've done over the years, I think that was one of the most absurdly fun.
And was unexpected, and it was just it was a good time.
Yeah. And you know, that was one of the things where you really did know what you were getting into, right? They were very upfront. And this is something I actually really enjoyed about that performance, is they were very upfront with what you were walking into. It's like, yep.
Exactly.
Literally in the name, it is called The Puppetry of the Penis. Like, you are going to see some cocks in some configurations that you are not probably accustomed to seeing.
Right.
Unless you are a contortionist. So, the buy-in for that show was really front-loaded. You know, they really looked to you right at the door, just like, there's going to be some naked dudes. You cool?
Yeah.
We're all cool?
And they reiterated it. Mm-hmm. So nobody was weirded out. Nobody could have possibly missed the memo.
Mm-hmm. So. And it just...
It was good
that
time.
Level, it's that level of open communication that makes sure that, you know, when they get to the end and start and things start happening, you can laugh. You know, you can have fun. You can join in the joke instead of being blindsided by it.
Yeah. And it's a way more enjoyable experience for everybody. And you might surprise yourself.
It really is. And
mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're playing as well.
Yeah. Making sure that here's one thing that I like to do for my sessions as I'm planning them out is I always like to go through my checklist, whether for D&D or for BDSM, right? Mm-hmm. I think about the people, I put this up on our website the other day in the blog, in the training section. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if you start with thinking about the people you're playing with, just starting from that very basic level of how well do you know these people? What do they like? What do they not like? And then building around that, you can really create some inventive and fun scenes.
Yeah.
Having mostly, you know, to use the BDSM checklist example, mostly fives, a four, and a three.
Mm.
Everyone's having fun that day.
Yeah.
You have one thing that maybe you as a dom love and your sub is willing to try, and you've communicated beforehand that that's an edge that they're fine with having pushed. Great.
Right.
Have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then give them that reward. Give them all the things they love. They're into like blindfolds, leather. I'm just literally going down the top of the list here. Blindfolds, mm-hmm. leather restraints, suspension, and flogging. and you really want to try like a forced orgasm scene, that is right. A good day.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Got a lot done. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's the goal. Very happy. Now you can have a nice dinner, wind down, enjoy the right. evening. Make sure that aftercare is included in your timing, because I've heard some horror stories, and let me tell you, it's just not cool. Like,
it's a full circle. You can't just, you have to establish that trust and that connection all the way through. Mm-hmm. You can't when they're at the most vulnerable point, you've gotten them out of the bondage and everything, and they're tender. They're just a pile of mush. Mm-hmm. That is the most crucial time, next to like in the moment when safety aspects can go wrong. Mm-hmm. This is where emotional damage can happen. And those scars can often be deeper and last longer and can be way more traumatic. Mm-hmm. Aftercare is so important. And it brings everybody back to a centered space. And it really all comes together, like the whole point of doing this and building that connection and procreating like that and bringing people closer together. That's the whole reason we're doing this. And
absolutely.
It's so important.
Three motherfucking snaps to that.
Wow. Hugs, lots of hugs, always water.
Yeah, always.
Just the water. First thing, always with the water. Yep. During, before, after. But all hugs, man, just like give somebody that embrace and let them breathe it out and go through deep breathing exercises together and do it, breathe in and feel each other's breath. Just continue that connection even afterwards.
One thing.
Until then, they feel like they're good. They feel better now. Yeah. And communicate with them about that. Ask them about that. How are you feeling? Is there anything
else out there? Communicate that back too. When you are coming out of subspace and you're like finally getting back into feeling like you're better, you have to let your play partners know that as well, because then that allows for a shift, right? It's like
exactly from
a hard scene to aftercare to a shift out, and now you can start having the conversation about, hey, what did you like? What did you love? What did you not like? What parts of this what was your rose, your thorn, and your blossom? That's what I like to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I always do, like, because we always do, like, pre and post interviews you're familiar with for my shoots. But, yeah, I always love to ask, like, what was your favorite part? What was the most challenging part? Is there something that we did you wouldn't want to ever try again? Mm-hmm. Would you even come back and do this again? Like, would you play with us again? Mm-hmm. I think that's just as important, like we've been saying, as like, what was your favorite part?
Yeah.
And it's okay to know the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
I think. Because then you know what to avoid next time. Now it's like, okay, well, now we know this. And you tried it. I'm proud of you for at least testing it out and trusting me, like the honor of allowing me to go down that road together. And, you know, it's not always going to be rainbows and sunshine. It's like some things you're going to try and it's not what you expected, or you just flat out don't like it and you don't have to do it again. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Communicate that though. It's important.
Yeah. I've seen that a couple of times. People who both doms and subs think there's something they're really into until they actually try it. And they're like, no, turns out I was wrong. I was
and off a little more than I can chew. Yep. So it happens all the time.
Yep.
I've done
okay. It. You know, it's a learning experience. And the people who think, I'm about to get started on a ramble here. The people who think they know.
Where's the soapbox?
Where's the soapbox? Hold on. It's right here. It had some vibrating anal beads in it a little bit ago. The people who think they know everything about their sexuality. Everything about what, you know, their sub needs. No, you don't. Look, you don't know everything about yourself because you're a constantly changing, growing person.
You don't know everything about
your sub or your dom, for that matter, because they are also a constantly changing, growing person.
Yeah.
Especially now in quarantine, like, I gotta tell you, I've been through more emotional, mental, and physical shifts in my desires and expectations and needs over the past 4, 5, 6 months.
Going on 6 months. Huh? Yeah.
Oh God, that's a horrible feeling. But yeah. Really, I've gone through more emotional and mental shifts in the past 6 months than I probably have in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Making sure that we all take the extra level of patience with each other and the extra level of understanding and communication is key.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, 2020. Ironic that's 2020. Like, it has given, despite all the bullshit, there has been a lot of hindsight and a lot of clarity this year, getting that 2020 vision.
I saw that on a pretty great meme earlier. It was like, so apparently the word quarantine comes from cuarentena, which is the 40 days that you would have to be isolated upon landing a boat during the Black Plague to make sure you're carrying it or prevent you from getting it if you were in an area that was hit.
Right.
40, 20 plus 20, and also hindsight being 2020, we probably should have seen this coming.
Yep. It's true.
It's a good one.
And that's the damned thing, is we did know about it beforehand. We just chose not to do anything.
Yeah.
America.
America. Well, that's pretty much, I think we could probably put a nail in this one.
I think successful session zero.
Yeah.
we'll take a look at the footage afterwards and see if how it all looked and sounded. But I think this is we're going to do something about the background scenario.
I know. I feel like by episode 10, we need like green screens.
Yeah. And you, that will probably happen.
You, dear viewers, could help us get there.
Exactly. By supporting us on Patreon, you can help make our dreams come true.
And if you make our dreams come true, we can make your dreams come true.
Exactly.
So, from us, the Dungeon Masters, I am Pirate.
I'm Sebastian.
And as you go out into that world, roll high.
Wear your mask.